This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome back to the Naked Professors podcast. We're rejoining the conversation this week with Amy and Farah. This is week two of our roundtable conversation celebrating the feminine. And do you know what? I'm so glad this conversation is happening right now because since recording it, where do I start? You know, there's been a big movement, and at the heart of all my work and all the conversations that I like to have, it's always been about powering the feminine. It's about finding this magic balance between masculine and feminine in a world that celebrates the masculine to a greater degree than the feminine. It's toxic in many ways. You know, a healthy masculine needs the feminine, and we live in a world where men have been taught to bury their feminine energy. And I even remember myself sitting there thinking, I'm not a woman. I don't want feminine energy, I want just masculine energy, without understanding the balance of what's needed as a human being. And I do think that's the picture that society creates for us. Men go all in on being men, and that means masculine energy only, doing. And we lose touch with the beautiful feminine energy. You know, I'm learning that it's not dissimilar for women too, but in a different way, of course. But the world as a whole promotes the masculine energy. The world as a whole asks us to do, and embracing the feminine has been lost on many of us. So I'm so happy at what feels such a relevant time that we've got this conversation happening now, celebrating the feminine. This episode, or this part of the conversation, is all about embracing the most powerful parts of the feminine. And I ask Amy and Farah to celebrate their beautiful feminine energy. What bits stand out for them? You know, it's beautiful for me to sit and listen. You know, when I listen back, I'm slightly conscious that I do too much talking. So Amy and Farah, I'm so sorry that, you know, it was meant to give you the space, but I'm so passionate about this that I couldn't stop myself in responding to so much of what is being said, because I'm so passionate about the power of the feminine energy. I feel it's repressed in society so much. I feel it's so much of the work that we have to do again, returning back to celebrating the human qualities of who we all are. It's big for me right now. It's big. There's a lot of relevant stuff going on, and I'm just really glad to bring this conversation to you. Before I do, there's a trigger warning in here that part of the conversation does focus around sexual abuse. So if that is something that you're conscious of, or something that you've experienced, or something that you're sensitive around, then please just take your time to listen to this at a time that will feel appropriate, a time when you're feeling safe. I have to mention that and share that with you. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce back to the stage Amy and Farah and our conversation all about the power of the feminine energy. I'd love to ask about what your feminine superpower is, and to really go into why it is a superpower for you. Like, what does it bring you? Like the most powerful bits of your feminine. Farah, I know you talked a lot, and I hear you talk a lot about sensitivity, which obviously, as I've already said, that it resonates so much with me. What does being sensitive give you? Why is it so beautiful? And is there any other parts of you that you'd love to share and tell us what it brings you?
Yeah, I love that question. I think it's really important to actually get very clear on a new story for yourself, rather than what we've been given, on these parts of ourselves that have had very bad PR throughout our lives. So I would say for me, sensitivity. So the way I think of sensitivity, the way I experience it, is that I feel so much, as in like the slightest shift within my energy, the slightest shift within people around me as well. I'm able to read the room very well. Sometimes when I'm with someone one-on-one, I can feel their stuff. I can feel what's happening in their body, which has definitely been a process to learn how to deal with that. What's beautiful about it now is that I see it as, I see being sensitive and being in connection with your emotions as actually, well, I believe it's the healthiest way to be, and I believe we all have that capability within us. So we have a system within us which is literally wired for healing. Like, we have a self-healing mechanism within us. It's our whole emotional body brings things up as a way of healing, as a way of processing, asking you to sit with it so that the body can do its thing, the heart can do its thing. I don't believe that we are given emotions for no reason. So I think a lot of the time when we were growing up, we heard this kind of narrative of like, oh, I don't know, I'm feeling angry, I don't know why. And then, you know, you kind of dismiss it, or I just feel like I'm in a really bad mood today, I don't know why. And then you just dismiss it. And to me, every time you're dismissing what's coming up, you're dismissing the gold, you're dismissing healing, you're dismissing divine communication from your body that's offering awareness to something that, as soon as you sit with it and as soon as you feel it, it literally moves and shifts and allows itself to unravel in whatever way is for your highest good. So for me, like, being in touch with my emotions means that I allow healing a lot quicker now. Like, when I was denying my emotions, when I was denying what was coming up for me, I believe we literally deny our own healing. And it also clashes with this idea of what healing has to look like. So I really see a lot of people believing that healing has to be hard, and that to heal you have to go through like this traumatic process, and it has to look like a complete breakdown every time. And I think when we actually get in touch with our bodies and feel what's here moment to moment, without even needing the story of like every time you feel the emotion, you don't have to go into the whole history of why it's here, but sometimes we literally just have to let our bodies feel it, feel what that emotion feels like in you. If you're feeling sad, breathe into it, let it take form within you. And it can be so interesting, because when we do that, we realize that our bodies can heal and can shift energy within seconds that we may have been putting hours on if we don't allow ourselves to feel it. So I think it also challenges this notion of how quickly can we process things? How quickly can we heal? Can we let it be that easy? Can we let our bodies do so much of the work that we at the moment might be doing with our minds? So I can't remember what the question was, but that's what came up. I'm really, honestly, if anybody is listening to this, I'm in such a tender, vulnerable state. I keep losing my track of thought, but that's what came up.
No, it's perfect. And everything you're sharing is beautiful. So thank you. But what I asked was your superpower, and you explained to me, and what I heard was that, you know, allowing yourself to feel and to recognize your emotions just allows for the space for so much healing. I think it's rare for people to heal, you know, for being honest. Like, most of us never go through the healing process, because particularly us men, we don't allow ourselves to feel. How are you going to heal what you can't feel? So that really is a superpower. Yeah, it's beautiful. So thank you very much. Amy, can you tell me about your feminine superpowers? What comes to you?
The one that's definitely coming through is my voice. Which comes back to what I was saying before around like the wound becoming the light, the Dharma, the path that you walk. And so what I'm going to share is probably going to be quite triggering for anyone. So just content warning around abuse. But my flashback memory of my abuse was being orally raped. So tons of physical trauma in the throat. And an inability to even, after I remembered what had happened, to even speak. Like, I would literally go to speak and in my head, words are coming out and nothing's coming out of my mouth. And around the same time that this happened, I was also really like adamant about singing. And I was like, my whole childhood, I was singing. I was in like talent agencies. I wanted to be a musician. And I got up on stage around the same time, felt super embarrassed. I can't remember exactly what happened. And I just quit all my music lessons, quit singing, didn't sing again, couldn't sing in front of anyone. So for me now in the work that I do, like the throat has been activated again. And it's so interesting because when I listen to interviews that I did 3 or 4 years ago or meditations, the sound of my voice has changed. And the way that I deliver my medicine to other people, other women that have been through the exact same thing as me, but have only given themselves permission to heal or to validate what's happened to them because they've seen someone like me talking about it, comes through the channel of my voice. And really interestingly as well, with my human design, for anyone who's into human design, I'm a mental projector, which is a really rare kind of projector in human design, and I have no inner authority. So my intuition, in order for me to activate my intuition and my inner knowing, I have to use my voice, hear what I'm saying to understand the truth. So when I get on a podcast, when I jump on a workshop, I have no notes in front of me ever. I am just like channeling through my third eye out my voice, but my voice and my throat is the channel through which the world receives it and through which all of these women around the world, thousands of women, get this feminine activation and this healing and this power and this safety. My voice creates that. I create this safety through my meditations, through my breath work. All of it is my voice. So if I were to have never healed, this superpower would not be here, right? There are people who have told me, you know, that they were thinking of ending their lives, you know, before some of the work that we've done. So literally my voice has helped to save people's lives, but I had to take responsibility for activating it. So for me, like my throat chakra, using my voice, this is my feminine superpower. And I think like for so many as well, it's a symbol because so many women are afraid to use their voice or to use the fullness of their expression, you know, to put their truth behind their voice.
I really feel that in you as well. Amy, thank you for sharing. And thank you to both of you for owning it so much as well. You know, it's we live in a world where it's difficult to own our gifts, isn't it? You know, and at times, and I love that we can sit in that space and share that these are our superpowers. And I totally feel that in both of you. And you know what, for me, like a long time, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have known what my gifts were, probably because my gifts were suppressed. But I wouldn't have known. I couldn't have. I couldn't accept compliments. I couldn't give compliments. I could, you know, none of gifts were suppressed. It was a very different space. I cannot imagine sitting in a conversation like this and just, you know, and allowing space without judgment for freedom to be shared. So thank you both for sharing that. It's beautiful. In terms of the gifts that the feminine energy perhaps have allowed me to feel into, I would definitely, in fact, my life has changed through understanding and experiencing connection. I didn't experience connection in a deep form, in a really meaningful form for 30 years. And I hate saying that because I met some beautiful people along the way. And I don't mean to be disrespectful because it the cliche, but it really wasn't them. It was me. You know, I wouldn't allow anyone in. I really didn't know how to receive, which is something that I'm still working on. But I didn't know how to go beneath the surface. I didn't know how to share emotions, talk about emotions, talk about how I was feeling. I just could talk about what I was doing. And, you know, emotion and relationships ran quite dry in that sense, even though I was connected to some beautiful women who had just were amazing in so many ways. There's only so far we could go because I just could only take them. I could only allow them in that surface level. And my experience through allowing my feminine to be felt and expressed has invited just so much more in terms of relationships and, you know, experiencing this energy inside of me. Even, you know, I don't mean to use the word even, but sitting in conversations like this where there's so much truth and, you know, you just sit, when you will both have a place in my heart having sat and shared truth. And I always have this saying that says hearts see hearts, you know, and guys can talk about the football and the news and whatever all they want, and it creates a sense of connection, but it's entirely different when hearts see hearts, when the truth of who you are is expressed and someone receives that and they express the truth of who they are. It's a deeper form of connection that I didn't know about for 30 years, And I'm just so grateful for that, because without that connection, I was always going to be chasing. I was always chasing what life could give me. With an internal sense of connection, there's much more capability just to be, because that lives inside of me. I don't need to chase anything with that. It's something that I can experience. And I think it's the biggest thing that society misses still to this day, is the ability to connect deeply with one another. And with that, you know, addictions, all sorts of things unravel. But if we can really learn to connect, that's something beautiful that can live inside of us at any point, and including connecting with ourselves and creating that relationship. So that's been my superpower, if you like, in terms of embracing my feminine energy, and I'm so grateful for it. I can't imagine life without it. And actually, one more thing. Sorry, this is not meant to be about me, but I'm doing my best. You know, I've done men's retreats, and I'm involved in working on men's retreats now, and Men Without Masks. And for so many men, it's a new experience to actually be seen and heard. They've never done it before. Their real truth, you know. And with that, I mean, let their, you know, in terms of the masculine archetypes, let their warrior, lover, magician, and king, all of them be seen and felt. And you know, men are great at expressing the warrior and letting their warrior be seen. That's very acceptable. But they're not so great at letting their lover or even their magician, their creative side, be expressed. And suddenly they sit in a room with other men, and they allow their lover to be seen, and they can express love, and they can express tenderness and softness and sensitivity in front of these other men who accept them. And actually, who don't just accept them, who give them a hug, maybe the first hug they've ever had, who say, "Me too. I've got that too." In fact, I get goosebumps just when I say that, you know, to experience that. And these are the most, as I say before, these are some of the toughest men that I've met, you know, ex-policemen, ex-gang members, ex-athletes, sportsmen, or, you know, just experiencing the sense of connection. And in that room, heart see hearts, all because we just allow all of us, and we allow some of that feminine energy that we've suppressed all of our life, thinking it's not acceptable, to actually now come to surface and actually now be seen. Yeah, I guess that's where my mission lies, is and why I want to have conversations like this, because I want men to be able to understand that an expression of their feminine energy, and women, of course, but my journey lies as a man, so, but I understand it better, and I see the pain that so many men have in not expressing their feminine energy, but understanding that men can be a warrior and a lover and a magician and a king, that all of them, all of that is part of who they are. And their freedom lies in being able to pick up those energies as and when it's needed. And yeah, and that's why I'm just so passionate about embracing the feminine, allowing that part to be seen. So yes, thank you for allowing me the space. It's lovely to be able to share this with women. I didn't actually have any intention to really share like this, but it's just, I hope you don't mind. It kind of flows, and I hope it fits in with what you're saying too. Something that I feel like is really alive right now, in that the world has been forced into embracing the feminine, is obviously there's been a whole lot going on the last year that's been way out of our control, and we've had to, men or women, we've had to surrender in many aspects, because we just, there's just something for the first time really, to this extent, we can't do anything about it. So for me, this is another reason why this really needs to be embraced, like this embracing of the feminine, embracing of allowing what is happening to unfold around us without a need, a grip, a force, and like, no, I'm going to make this happen, when you can't. So flow is like a word that's really, it's started to come alive for me through allowing in the feminine. But can we talk about the, like, letting go of control, just allowing flow into our lives? Like, how's that been for you in your life? Is that something that you feel that you do well? Have you always done it well? Has it been blocked? Like, how's that been for you, allowing surrender and flow?
I felt like pretty flowing and all right throughout most of the entire situation. But I mean, maybe this is down to a few views and things that I have that are maybe a bit controversial and different. So what I see in the general, like, population in our society is that a lot of us have infantilized ourselves. We outsource so much of our power and authority to the government. It's basically like our daddy, right? It's like, daddy, take care of everything, make everything okay, right? And what a lot of governments have maybe shown people is that they're a bit dodgy sometimes and they don't always do things for your safety and your best interest, right? So for many people, it's like this inner child wounding situation going on where the masculine has not provided a safe space for you. And what you thought was safe and assured and secure has been flipped on its head, and you don't know what's going on. You don't know when daddy's coming home. You don't know when the government's going to let you out. For a lot of people, that's been super disempowering because they have this false sense of trust. And not to say that like you can't trust governments for anything, but there's a lot of things that are dodgy that have happened throughout this whole situation, and it's coming to light now. So for me, because I've done like a lot of work around my divine masculine, when all of this happened, it was annoying, like not being able to like do certain things, but I was like, it's cool, we've got this, because I have sovereignty, I have control, I have already started building a life that, you know, I don't have to rely on companies and corporations. Like, I've been creating this sovereignty for myself for years. I've created sovereign wealth. I've created a business that can be online. I've created all of these things. And for obviously a lot of people have not done that or not walked that path. So this situation has affected them in totally different ways. But what I would say the situation could be, if you decide it to be, is an empowering invitation for you to decide, do you want to be reliant on a force outside of you in so many ways that when that force falls apart, your whole life falls apart? And I know for many people, this whole time has empowered them to go start their own businesses, to go create their own way of working and living. And many people have moved to other countries because they've gotten like clarity from the situation and been like, I don't want to live my life here doing this. And so I'm going to take back control. So even though there's been like a lot of surrender that's had to happen as well, I feel like for many people, it's been a really empowering invitation to actually take back control, to take back, you know, their choice over what they want to do, how they want to live their life, and also creating your own rules around what works for you as a sovereign human being. And I think a lot of people have forgotten their sovereignty. And so that's why it's been a very triggering situation for so many people.
I totally hear you. And it's beautiful watching the life that you've created and the flow that, I appreciate it's only over social media, and I'm sure there are challenges there, but the flow that you seem to have in your life, it's beautiful. Have you always, can we compare the flow that you sit in now compared to when you're in your 20s? Like, how much flow was there then? Like, what was the situation? How much willingness was there to surrender to the world at that point?
There was no flow. I was a prisoner of everything and everyone. I worked in the fashion industry, and I often reflect on my job at that time, and I try and reflect on like what part of that was my own projection and what part of that was actually happening. But in a nutshell, I mean, a lot of gaslighting, no space for, you know, getting support around your mental health. I remember even me asking to go to therapy sessions was like a huge deal at my job, and was almost putting my job at risk because I wasn't able to like show up in the same way, getting reprimanded when I was having like, you know, I was running outside and having panic attacks and coming back in, and, you know, no, there was no safe space there for me to be understood. And so at that time, I wasn't sovereign. I was living in this paradigm of thinking like, well, I have to do this. I have to show up to work, even though I'm feeling like this. I have to do what they say, otherwise I'll lose my job. I have to accept that minimum wage for, you know, this amazing service that I'm offering them. Like, there's no other way. I actually went away to Coachella at some point. It was in like 2016. And I remember I was just at Coachella. I think I'd taken a few drugs. I was dancing in this like crowd with hundreds of thousands of people. And I was just like, I had one of those like fuck it moments where I was like, maybe I don't have to just do what they say. Maybe I don't have to just live life by the rule book that I've seen everyone else live their lives according to. Maybe I can just do what I want. And whatever was buffing up my confidence, the dance floor, the drugs I'd taken, the like sense of freedom of being in another country, I don't know what it was, but it came back and I just like made this decision to start making changes and to claim what I wanted. And so, yeah, sometimes I think you need that contrast, right? You need things to get really bad or to get really shit sometimes in order to have your own fuck it moment and be like, nah, I'm done. Nah, stepping out of that paradigm, new paradigm.
Yeah, it's that concept of, you know, the pain of change only comes when the pain of staying the same outweighs the pain of change, right? And then it's, then there's a possibility perhaps of making surrender of being an easier thing. You know, perhaps then it's less challenging to let go, because what are we letting go of? But yeah, I'm with you 100%. Yeah, really beautiful. And I'm so glad that you did say fuck it and go on your magical journey. It's beautiful.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Farah, how's this concept of surrender been for you and letting go of control? Have you always felt in flow? Has flow come into your life recently, or where are you at with it all?
I would say when I was younger, definitely no flow. From around the age of 13, I had like OCD intrusive thoughts. So for people that don't know what that is, you get thoughts come into your mind. I mean, every human has it at some points, but it's how you relate to it. But you know, when you have those thoughts and it's just a random thought that comes into your mind of like the worst things in human nature, and you literally think like, oh my God, why did I have that thought? What is wrong with me? And you attach, for me, I attach my identity to those thoughts. So I would end up thinking I was literally the most messed up person in the world, because our minds can create the worst thoughts all the time if it wants to. And it did. And the more I resisted it and the more I started to literally think I was going crazy, the more I had those thoughts. And so, you know, that's where the OCD came in. So I was very much in analyzing my thoughts all the time. Am I a good person because I've now had a few good thoughts? Oh my gosh, I've just had a really weird thought. Now I'm really weird again. You know, my identity was constantly changing based on what thoughts I was having. So and that was from the age of 13 to 12 to 22, so 10 years, and I didn't tell anybody about it, so I really deeply lived within that I am really messed up paradigm. And now I'm 26 now, and it's been such a healing journey. So, you know, it's been through that massive sense of always having to control. Yeah, I had to let all of that go. To heal, I had to let go of the control completely. And like Amy said as well, root into a different truth. Like I could have stayed at that level and I could have stayed at attaching my identity to my thoughts all the time. But, you know, I had to step back completely outside of that and find my sense of self-worth, find my power, find my identity somewhere completely different. And I'm a very spiritual person, so I do believe, just like I was saying earlier on, that whatever is arising within us is there for a reason and is asking us to feel it so that we access whatever healing it has. I also believe that whatever is happening in my life, the only thing I can do is feel it and allow myself to feel my way through it. So I very much had that sense over many years now of practicing that, like I said, going from extreme control to trusting. Like it's been such a journey of trusting. So now I'm able to, yeah, throughout this the last year, it hasn't affected me either, really. And that's because I very much trust whatever is arising, even if it is uncomfortable, even if things have shifted in my life. I allow myself to feel the discomfort of that. I allow myself to let it ask the uncomfortable questions that I need to ask. And yeah, I very much see the divine in what's happening, even when it's truly messy and truly, you know, if there's a lot of pain, if there's a lot of suffering, it's still worthy of being felt and being moved towards. So that's how I kind of create flow with whatever, because I don't allow there to be conditions upon what we flow with. I allow it to be, yeah, flow has to be unconditional for me. Otherwise, you're always going to be running away from what's in front of you. So
yeah, and what comes up for me as you say that is that without the embracing the feminine, without the allowing, the surrendering, I don't know if there is flow. I don't know if there can be flow. And you know, and I think how many men I see who aren't allowing feminine in, that there is no flow, and it's tiring, it's draining, it's heavy, it's exhausting. I speak from experience. You know, when we're not in flow, like we're analyzing everything, we're trying to work it out. It's flow is just such a lighter way of being, isn't it? It's liberating. For me, flow is like what these conversations are. There has to be an element of rational for me in trying to, you know, continue in the conversation, take it where I want it to take it. But generally just sitting in the space and not having a preparation for what I'm about to do or how I'm about to answer or what's going to, and just feeling into what feels right in that moment and trusting that whatever is inside of me will be right. I remember in a lot of the personal development experiences I had, you know, if it was a round table conversation and there was a question that we were all about to share, you know, I had worked out the answer almost, you know, I'd scripted it the first part, you know, da, 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 this is how I can get it all across. You know, and that is forced when it comes to me. It's like, right, people don't feel it. And part of my practice, or allowing me to practice the practice, was being in those situations, like in this space now, trusting when it comes to my turn to speak that it will just come. Like you just, that out breath, Farah, I just exactly sink into it. It's like, yeah, adjust. And it's an entirely different way of living for me. Of course, to the ego, it's scary. It's like that there is no planning, there is no trust. You don't know, am I going to say the right thing? But I really believe when we're fully tuned in to the truth of who we are, our truth is kindness, compassion, love, empathy. That is our truth. So if we really tune into that and we don't allow the ego to interfere and to make people wrong or to make ourselves better or to compare ourselves, if we just allow that energy to pass and to really sink in, be truly connected to our absolute truth, then we can live in trust that we won't go wrong. Sure, we might make mistakes. Sure, we might not always say the right thing at the right time. We might, whatever. But you can feel that it's coming from that place. That I lived a filtered life for always in trying to process, trying to rationalize, trying to understand, trying to work it all out. I was always tired. I get less sleep now than I did 15 years ago. And 15 years ago, I used to think I'm someone who just needs 8 or 9 hours sleep. That's what I need. I just need a lot of sleep. Now, I honestly get 6 or 7 hours straight. My eyes ping open. It's like, come on, right? You know? And it's like, it's just a different energy. I'm much easier, much lighter weight on my shoulders. I'm not saying it's all perfect and it's all there, but I certainly have allowed flow to come in by letting go of control. And a mission for my life now really is always just to always just go with what flows right, with what is right, what feels right, not what makes sense or anything else. And it's a much lighter way. And and for me, it's a beautiful, of course, it is a collaboration with the masculine. It does need the masculine, but if it's the masculine alone without the willingness to feel into the emotion of the feminine, it's all force for me. It's heavy. So yeah, empowering my feminine has been a beautiful part for me to allow flow into my life. So yeah, thank you.
Well, yeah, it's the same for the feminine too, right? So the ability to trust your intuition. And this is where I feel like if you hyper focus only on your feminine, you end up in almost like a bit of wishy-washy, like, oh, I'm feeling everything all the time and I'm getting nothing done. And oh my gosh. And it's like the ability to trust your emotions and sensitivities, and like what Farah was saying, have that like quantum shift where like you can heal something really big in a really short amount of time, comes from the union of both. So like, you know, if we look at business, for example, the reason that I'm able to just be in my intuition and know that I can make like quantum amounts of money with like, you know, almost magic sometimes, is because I've created masculine safety and knowing, and there is some logic. So like, I'm not just jumping on a workshop having done no trainings ever. Like, I've worked hard, I've done trainings, I've worked with loads of people, I have an awareness, I also have like general logic awareness of like how to use my language and things like that. So then my intuition can almost like, the same way we look at like secure relating and secure attachment, people who have a secure attachment style can go out in the world and be more confident because they have a secure attachment and probably a secure relationship at home or a secure relationship with themselves. So the confidence and the intuition comes from having an empowered relationship to the masculine as well. And like you said, vice versa, with like, for the masculine to empower the feminine, you actually then are more in your divine masculine. You get to be a better warrior, a better magician. You get to be stronger, more successful. You actually get to create all the things that you want to create with more ease and more flow and more success. And you have more energy and more love to pour into all these other parts of your life. So it's always like the unity of both. But our society doesn't like that, right? Our society is like, choose what box you're in. Choose your label. Are you a feminist or are you not a feminist? Because you can't be like one or the other or somewhere in between. But it's not true.
No, we love the labels, don't we? And I think it's really harmful. I always, as a guy, an example I always use is, you know, in rugby used to be my sport. If I played rugby, if I was the tough guy, I had to carry that tough guy label everywhere I went. If I ever got seen as soft, in nothing to do with the game of rugby, but that would tarnish. You know, people could use that against me at any point. I was no longer tough. So we carry that. I'm tough at all times, whatever the situation, even if my wife needed love and attention or my kids, whatever, I'm still the tough guy. That's not what I do. And then there's some rugby players from the South Sea Islanders, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, who are about as tough as they come on the field. And they're so powerful in their actions. And, you know, everyone's kind of fearful of them on the field and how strong, powerful they are. And they come off the field and they're like poking each other and they're giggling and they're hugging and they're kissing each other and they're like little cuddly bears. And it's like, God, hey, we can see that. Like, look, it's possible. We don't have to always act out the one version of us that we've conditioned ourselves to think that we are. We can allow for multiple parts of us to show up at different times. And in fact, we need to. It's essential. We need all of that. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, Amy, and for bringing that alive. So as I said, I feel like I kind of took over the conversation a little bit there, and I wish I'd left more space for Amy and Farah. I could have spoken to them all day, but I just get caught up in this conversation. I'm so passionate. There's so much more. This is like scratching the surface for me. It's just so beautiful to sit in a space and celebrate the feminine energy, celebrate the beautiful human parts of us. So Amy and Farah, I'm so grateful for your sharing, so grateful for hearing more about your experiences and your journeys, and for celebrating the beautiful aspects of who you are as a person, you know, forgetting this whether you're a man or a woman, but celebrating all of who you are So thank you for sharing this. I'm really excited to complete the conversation. We've got one more episode next week, which just rounds off this conversation, celebrating the feminine and embracing all of what the feminine energy is about and how it's suppressed. And it just feels so topical right now, as I say. So I'm grateful that we've let this conversation run. We had International Women's Day, we have Mother's Day. It just feels like right now, March 2021 is all about empowering the feminine and bringing equality back to the world at a time when it's being highlighted how much it's missed. So I'm grateful for these conversations. If you're engaged by what you've listened to, you feel it's important, then we'd love any support. I want this conversation. I feel particularly us men need to listen at the moment. We need to become aware again as how important the feminine energy is. So if you feel like anyone could do with listening to this, I appreciate any support. So if you could rate, review, subscribe or follow, that would be brilliant. We've got the Instagram channel of the Naked Professors podcast alive, and we're sharing clips from that again now. Finally got my act together, so that's happening. And just thank you for getting this far, thank you for listening, thank you for being a supporter. And I really hope, well, in fact I know this conversation isn't going away, because I won't stop. You know, I this is my passion and I won't stop with this, so it's ongoing. I seek equality, I seek an equal celebration of the masculine and the feminine and the need for integration right now. So thank you for listening, thank you for supporting, and I hope to see you again next week for the conclusion of this beautiful conversation with Amy and Farah. Thank you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.